Our study tonight is out of Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 5 through 20, God's just punishment on Babylon and Judah. Habakkuk trusted in the Lord, but he struggled to understand how God, who was good and all-powerful, would function at times seemingly indifferent to the existence of great evil in the world. The book of Habakkuk is thus a theodicy, defense of God's goodness and power in view of the existence of evil. Habakkuk 2, 5 through 20 predicts God's judgment on Babylon after he had used Babylon to punish Judah. However, the sins of Babylon were the same as those of Judah, showing God was just to let Babylon punish Judah, though Babylon was more wicked. So we view the passage for our insight and our application. I want to read the passage first, and then we'll look at it. Habakkuk 2, beginning at verse 5 and going to the end of the chapter. He also, because he transgresseth by wine, he's a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as Hades, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all the nations, and heaps up unto himself people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, a taunting proverb against him, and say, Woe to him that increases that which is not his! How long unto him that ladeth himself with thick clay? Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee. Because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, and of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that builds a town with blood, and establishes a city with iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe unto him that gives his neighbor drink, that puts his bottle to him, and makes him drunken also, so that he may look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts, which made them afraid because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and all that dwell therein. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusts therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, Awake, and to the dumb stone, Arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. All right. When Habakkuk had told the Lord how upset he was over Judah's sins, God had replied that he would send the Babylonians to invade and punish Judah for these sins. Habakkuk was more upset at this reply. And he asked God why he would send a nation like Babylon that was more wicked than Judah to punish her. The Lord had answered that he would eventually punish Babylon, but that believers would survive Babylon's invasion by a life of faith in God. And of course, that phrase, the just shall live by faith, is picked up by Paul in the book of Romans, and he applies it to justification. Well, the Lord then gave more details on his punishment of Babylon in verses 5 through 20. God pronounced a woe on Babylon for the sin of greed. Being typically addicted to wine, arrogant and restless, the Babylonians never satisfied their greed, but they gathered to themselves the wealth of other nations by force, seizing what belonged to others. In other words, they kept invading nation after nation, and their sole goal was to take the goods and the booty that was there and just take it. Eventually, it was actually robbery. It was armed robbery that they were practicing. Accordingly, the day would come when surviving nations that had been victimized by Babylon would take up a taunt against Babylon, scoffing her during her shameful fall to invaders. That taunt would deride Babylon because she was being plundered of all the stolen wealth that she had taken from others. Second, God pronounced a second woe on Babylon for her arrogant, selfish use of her plunder. The Lord was opposed to the use of the plunder the Babylonians had seized from other nations to build up their own homes and empire in an effort to be impregnable to harmful invasion by other nations. So the Babylonians had only devised shame for themselves in having acquired their plunder by destroying other peoples, as God would direct their nation to fall and itself be plundered. This demonstrates the ends do not justify the means. There's nothing innately wrong with being wealthy, but to plunder other people just to get wealth and to kill other people to take their goods, no, that doesn't measure up to the righteousness of God. So God says you're going to get the same treatment. Then God pronounced a third woe on Babylon for building up her empire by abusing others. God's third woe was leveled at Babylon's building a town or city by murder and abuse. Accordingly, the Lord had determined that the constructions of the Babylonians would only serve as items that would serve as altars upon which the Babylonians would be destroyed in just judgment. In sharp contrast to the final ash heap of the Babylonian Empire, one day the earth would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's a famous verse, incidentally, Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's going to happen, we believe, in the millennial kingdom. In fact, in that day it says, no man shall teach his friend or his brother know the Lord, for all of them shall know the Lord, from the least to the greatest of them. It's amazing. Then God pronounced a fourth woe on Babylon for her inhumane and cruel mistreatment of her victims of war, likened to getting one's victims drunk so as to mistreat them shamefully. For this evil, God would cause the Babylonians themselves to be treated shamefully in their fall. And it's interesting, the Babylonians, a lot of them were very drunk at the time. And of course, when they're drunk, the soldiers can't fight very well. And they were easy pickings for the enemy that invaded Babylon. And then finally, God pronounced a woe on Babylon for her idolatrous worship of false idols. The Lord mocked the foolishness of the Babylonians' trust in inanimate idols they had formed themselves, pronouncing a woe on those who urged their own formed idols to awake and to arise when they had no life in them, no breath at all. In tremendous contrast, the true living God was in his holy temple, so all the earth should keep silence and reverence for him in his presence. It's interesting, these dumb idols couldn't do anything. All they could do was be silent. So God says, but I'm the living God, so everybody else, you keep silent in front of me. And I believe this is the theme. Remember in the book of Revelation where there's something begins to turn, God's getting ready, I think, to open up the trumpet judgments. And there's silence in heaven for half an hour. That silence is a signal that God is going to be judging with the trumpet judgments idolatry. And this is where the silence comes from. Everybody is honoring the Lord as opposed to these false idols and the demons that people had worshipped during the history of the world. But remarkably, and this is Dr. Ryrie puts this in his footnote, these woes are not pronounced against the Babylonians only, but also against Israelites who practice these same evils. Now, not all of these evils are named in the book of Habakkuk, but you find these evils mentioned in a number of the other Old Testament prophets who complained about what was going on in the nation. So it was very fitting for God to use the more wicked Babylon to punish Judah. Why? For Judah was more accountable to the Lord than Babylon because Judah had his law. There's a passage in Luke chapter 12, verses 47 to 48. The servant who knew his master's will and disobeyed it would be beaten with many stripes, where the servant who didn't know the master's will would be beaten with fewer stripes. For to whom much is given, much is required. and to whom little is given, little is required. So it was very fitting for Babylon. Yes, Babylon was more wicked, but Babylon didn't have the law. Judah did. So even though Judah hadn't sinned to the same extent as Babylon, she deserved to have every bit of that punishment because she knew better. So though Babylon was more evil than Judah, God justly used Babylon to punish her. For Judah's sins were like those of Babylon, and Judah was more accountable than Babylon, since she had God's law. So in application, may we realize that the more we know of God's word, the greater is our accountability to obey it. That if God must punish us for disobedience, our punishment will be more severe than it would be for those who had less knowledge. And then may we never doubt God's justice. God operates with perfect fairness. I get a circular for missionary kids, former missionary kids with the mission that I was with. It's called SIM Roots. S-I-M was the mission, and it's Roots. We go back. And there was a story in there. There was a girl who was a classmate of mine at Kent Academy when I was growing up at Kent Academy, Patty Hirsch. She was there. Her parents took her home to the States. I think it was in the eighth grade. And I spent up to the eighth grade there, and then I went into a high school 1 year at Hillcrest High School in Joss. But anyway, I knew her for a number of years. And I was shocked to read. Now, she died. Patty died of Alzheimer's. But she was married and divorced twice, and then she married a third time. Now, she knew better than that. I mean, we had the same rearing, same background and everything. Very intelligent girl, straight A's. In fact, she got her doctorate in psychology, believe it or not. But, and then she, with her third husband, started some awkward name of a church. And I don't remember, but she was dissatisfied with regular churches and whatnot. And where this gal went off the deep end, I don't know. Very intelligent, very gifted. Boom. And that's scary. And I looked at myself and thought, wow, you know, there go I, except for the grace of God. You know, it's amazing. I'm very grateful that the Lord brought people into my life and led me and so forth. But we had the same raising. We were the dorm parents, whatnot. Of course, she was in the girls' dorm. I was in the boys' dorm and everything. But we had the lunch hall together and everything. It's amazing. But we're accountable. If we know what God's word says, we're that much more accountable before the Lord. So we need to be careful and make sure that we're aligning with the Lord and the Lord's will, especially if we know it.